Okay, we're back. We're in Romans chapter 3, about verse 20 here. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, I think I already read that, didn't I? Okay, we're in chapter 25 there. Whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. And we've discussed that a little bit. Though Paul is bringing it up here, the propitiation through the faith in his blood. To understand the word propitiation, let's take a look here and what our good friend Strong says about that. Neuter or derivative, expiatory place or thing that is concretely an atoning victim, or specifically the lid of the ark in the temple, mercy seat propitiation. And, of course, the mercy seat was where they sprinkled his blood. And basically the point is here that through faith in his blood, and that's what I've been talking about, how that the Messiah died in our place, and how that when his blood was shed, because he had never sinned, one, because he was not born of the corrupted seed, and that was born with a death sentence, because he was not, because he was born of a new seed, of a virgin. So he did not deserve death. Death had no claim on him. But it has a claim on all of us, does it not? And that is evidence because of our mortality. And perhaps the point is this, would Yahushua, would he have died naturally? No, he wouldn't have died naturally. That's why he said, I lay down my life. I give it freely. He chose to give up his life. He could have stopped him at any time. How about when they came to the Garden of Gethsemane to take him? And those soldiers came up. And he said, who do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Or they said, Yahshua of Nazareth. And he said, I am he. And they all fell backwards. Yeah, they all fell on their butts, man. He didn't need an army. He didn't need Peter to pull out his sword against overwhelming odds to commit suicide for them all. Peter, put up your sword. Come on, man. This ain't the time for it. Because he did tell him to get a sword. Sell your cloak and buy a sword. He did tell him that. So it wasn't wrong for Peter to have the sword. It wasn't wrong for Peter to operate in a self-defensive type mode. It was just the wrong time. He displayed his power by knocking them all over backwards with a word, just to show what he could do. He gave his life. He laid out his life. It was time. He prayed, if there's any way, Father, to let this cup pass from me, is there any way? Nevertheless, but there was no other way, because he was thinking about us. Yeah, he could have let it pass. He could have let us all be condemned without any remedy. He could have, but there was no other way. He had to lay down his life. If there be any way to let this cup pass from me, but there was no other way. He agonized. He didn't want to die. He didn't want to lay down his life. He did not want to suffer the pain of the cross. If there was another way, he would have done it. But there was no other way. So he shed his blood for us. And when we belong to him, everything that belongs to him is covered by his blood. That means you and me. When we give our lives to him, our lives are no longer ours. And here's how you know that if you've given your life to him or not. Because you want to do the things that please him. If you've given your life to him, you now belong to him. You do the things that he says. But if you don't do the things that he says, there's the evidence that you have not given your life to him. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the doers of the word. If you love me, keep my commandments. Not those who merely call me Lord will enter the kingdom, but those who do the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's what we're talking about. If you belong to him, then you listen to him and you do what he says. And if you don't do what he says, if you hate his law, if you hate his commandments, and you want to continue in your sin and your unrighteousness, then there is the evidence that you don't belong to him. Wake up! Repent! The kingdom is at hand. That's the evidence that you're not in his kingdom. Isn't that important to you? Or is it more important to go, well, you know, I walked down the aisle, I said the sinner's prayer, and I get to go to heaven, when I die, whoopee! And walk around with your false assurance of salvation. Could you get to go to heaven when you die? Meanwhile, the evidence that you are one of his subjects, that you love his law and his kingdom, is not, you know, by your fruits, you should, by their fruits, you'll know them. By your fruits, you know yourself. And you know whether you love him. You know whether you love righteousness or you love wickedness. For whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. If you're not subject to him, if he truly isn't Lord of your life, then you don't belong to him and his blood doesn't cover you. It doesn't matter how many times you pray the sinner's prayer. It doesn't matter what you were assured by some evangelical preacher at some great crusade and how they boasted about you being one of the hundreds or thousands that came to the Lord that day. Yes, you know, so many were saved. And they jot them down in a book so they can boast and people will send them money to support their great crusades. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said. If you love me, you do the things I say. That's what he said. And if you don't love him, you are not in his kingdom. His blood ain't on you. So wake up. Judge yourself that you be judged of no man, but judge righteously according to the truth. And if you judge yourself righteously according to the truth, then you will repent. Then he will start writing his law in your mind and your heart. Then you will start learning obedience. Then you have assurance, if you continue in his word, that you are covered by his blood. Remember when they brought forth the adulterous woman? Of course, they didn't bring forth the adulterous man, so they really had no case against her, because you can't commit adultery by yourself. But he said, where are your accusers, woman? And she said, there is none. They all walked away because he told them, he said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And they all walked away. It says the Bible records for us that starting from the oldest to the youngest, they dropped their stones and walked away. And what did he say to the woman? He says, where are your accusers? She said, there are none. She says, neither do I accuse you. He didn't say, go your way and continue in your life. He said, go your way and sin no more. There has to be a change in your life, and that change is evidenced by being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Let's continue with Paul here. So he set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Oh, the blood. I love the blood, man. You know, I love to sing about the blood of the Lamb. I'm washed in his blood. Yeah, I said, that bloody religion. Uh-huh. You know, I love these hypocrites out there. They talk about the bloody religion of the Jews and the Israel, Hebrew, Lightish people, and how they always slaughtered all those animals. You know, they do the same thing. You know, they're still sacrificing animals every day. When was the last time you had a hamburger? I had some good tri-tip yesterday. It was good. You know, an animal sacrifice? There was an animal sacrifice made. Yeah, the animal sacrificed its life so I could eat it. So anyone who talks about that, yes, they ate the sacrifice. Come on. They ate it. But it was a symbol. Because the death of the animals came with the fall. Everyone was a vegetarian before that. Read it. It's in the Bible yourself. No one needed to eat meat. And then it was commanded after the flood and all the atmospheric changes that came with that and the shortening of the life of man that Noah was allowed to eat the sacrifice as a regular part of his diet, not just for the feast days and the sacrifices. Because that's what it was for before that. Of course, then you had all the heathen out there and all those wicked men, because the earth was filled with wickedness. They're not only just killing animals for sport, and that's expressed in the scripture too, how they just the wanton slaughter of animals and men. The earth was filled with violence. So we got the murder statutes. And yes, The Creator said, I will even, at the hand, will require the blood of every animal. So, We can't just wantonly slaughter animals. It's against God's law to hunt for sport. That's against God's law. And I can show you that in the scripture, although I'm not going to look it up right now. But if you go through my study in Genesis, it's there. And you can find that on my website, crosstheborder.org. I suggest everyone to start in the book of Genesis, to go through that study with me in the book of Genesis. It's free on my website, crosstheborder.org. And just listen, and you'll hear Genesis probably in a way that you've never heard Genesis before. And hopefully I'll get you hooked by that time. You'll see the scripture in a whole new light. Romans chapter 3, verse... Okay, yes, we'll finally get through verse 25 there. Yes. Through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So all of our past sins are forgiven. And if we continue in his word, all of our sins will be forgiven. His blood will cover everything. If your sins are not covered by his blood, don't be offended by the blood. Oh, thank God for his precious blood. That beautiful, that pure blood. That blood that death could not claim. The life is in the blood. And his life was pure and it was holy. He was of a seed that had never sinned, because he was of a new seed, the seed of the Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father. That's why he is the Son of God, and he is God, because the Creator prepared a body for himself in that seed that he planted in the virgin, and in that young virgin, to bring forth a whole new man. He was called the second Adam. That's why he's called the Son of Man, because he was the Son of God, and he was God's Son of Man, being born of a woman, being born of mankind. So he qualified, because he was born of a woman, to pay the price for all of us, our kinsman redeemer. He redeemed us by his blood. So you definitely want to belong to him. You definitely want to give your life to him, and you want to continue in his word. If you belong to him, you're going to do what he says, and you're going to love him, because he loved you first. Verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Yahushua, the justifier of him which believes in him, and speaking, of course, of our Messiah, also called Jesus. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Wherefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We are justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You know what that means? That we come as we are. That when we come to him in repentance, and we are truly sorry for our sins, and we truly express, and I mean, he judges our heart. Because some people, they just want to get into heaven, so they'll say the sinner's prayer or whatever. Or they'll go to confession so they can continue sinning. Now, that's not what this is about. That's not what faith is about. That's faith in a lie. So we conclude that man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And Paul writes, is he the God of the Yahudi only? Of course, in the King James Version, it says Jews. Is he not also of the Gentiles or the other nations? Yes, of the other nations also. That means he's the God of all nations. And we talked about the study in Jeremiah, how Jeremiah was the prophet to not only Israel, but all of the nations. And judgment began in the house of God, so it began in Israel. And then judgment followed to all the nations around. Why? Because Jeremiah prophesied not only to the Yahudi, or the people called by his name, Israel, but he sent messengers to all the nations. He had prophecies for all the nations about, from the Creator, from Yahuwah, the God of all the nations. And judgment began in Israel, and all of the nations round about, they saw the judgment on Israel, as prophesied, as sent by the word of Jeremiah to Israel and all the nations round about, yet they did not repent. So he systematically judged all the nations around Israel after that. You can read it. It's all there in Jeremiah for you. So, he is the God of all nations. Romans 3:30, seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law of God through faith? Paul clarifies it for all those who love to see a contradiction here. He said, God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And you know, this is a beautiful verse here. Because I've had people, I trumpet the law of God and the law of his kingdom and how he's the king and he's the lawgiver. And if you want to know who your king is, well, then you say, well, who is my lawgiver? And I say, well, I live by faith in the law of God. I live by faith in the word of God, because other people express, well, I can do whatever I want because I have faith. I can eat pork and I can smoke cigarettes because I have faith. And I go, yeah, you have a lot more faith than I do in something else. But I have faith in the Word of God. And I have faith that when he gave those dietary laws to his nation, that he gave those laws to them for their own good. That's what my faith says. How about yours? What does your faith say? So Paul says, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. So, if you want to know if your faith is true or not, well, here's a maxim for you. Does it establish the law? True faith establishes the law. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, there's your contradiction answered for all of those that are looking for contradictions or want to see contradictions. Here's the answer to your contradiction. He says, first he expresses, seeing it is one God, there's only one God for all the nations, Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, whatever nation you're of, there's only one God. Seeing it is only one God, Romans 3:30, shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision by faith, establishing that they're not justified by the works of the flesh, they're not justified by the sign in their flesh, the sign of the covenant in their flesh, but they're justified by faith. Whether they're circumcised or not, going back to, you know, circumcision being a big deal back then. It's not a big deal today. It may be to some people. He says, without faith, it doesn't matter. He says, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, or rather, we establish the law. So we find out from Paul here that faith establishes the law. Well, what does that mean? What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Total agreement. Yet the law was established after he believed. See, faith came first, then the law is established on that faith. And that's why just the calling upon the name of the Lord, as the Messiah said, as Yahshua said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only, that's a very exclusive statement, only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know what I'm saying? Paul is just agreeing here. Abraham, he believed. His faith was counted to him for righteousness because he believed God. Paul continues in Chapter 4, and verse 4. Now him too that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And now he's, now, see, this is not a contradiction. You have to understand that this in context. He's talking about people that want to be justified by their works. They think, God will owe me heaven. I'm a good man. I mean, how many times have I heard that? I'm a good man. And then after they express that statement, not as bad as that guy over there. It's like that Pharisee that was praying. Thank God I'm not like that sinner over there. And that sinner was over there, you know, in sackcloth and ashes or whatever, saying, forgive me, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the expression was, well, who do you think was justified before God? The sinner. The one who was saying, have mercy on me. Not the one who was saying, thank God I'm not like that sinner over there. I'm a good man. You know, I do this. I tithe the mint. And, you know, I give to this charity and that charity. And didn't you see me on TV last week holding up the huge check? And so everyone could see how much I give. I'm sure God was impressed by the size of that check and how big the numbers were on it. That's what Paul is talking about here when he says, "But to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." So what are we talking about here? We're talking expressly about the sins that we've and iniquities that we have committed being covered by his sins, because we cannot erase them. We cannot say, "Well, my goodness wiped them out. Because I'm good now, those things exist no more." No, they exist forever. But by faith, they are covered by the blood of the Lamb, because we have given our lives to him. "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are forgiven." Oh, you know, my prayer is, I want to be one of those. Do you want to be one of those? Yes. "Blessed is the man to whom Yahuwah will not impute sin." I want to be there. Oh, let that be me. Let it be me. Let me be covered by his blood. And you know, that's our standing before God. That's the grace that came with Yahshua, our Messiah. We stand before the Heavenly Father clean, washed in the blood of the Lamb, even though we are still in this mortal flesh. You know, thanks be to God. Well, it's the end of the hour. As always, in everything you say and do, hallelujah.